Joined by Joe Rivera of Sporting News. Joe, how you doing, man?
Jonathan, I'm doing well. Greetings from my beautiful New Jersey friend.
Now, before we get to some of the baseball stuff, I saw you tweeted out last night. You took part of the AAF, and you also chose a team. You conveniently chose the same team I'm rooting for and have latched my allegiances to as well, the Memphis Express. Is it just because you're a big Christian Hackenberg fan? Do you have an association with Memphis? Like, how did you choose them?
You know, I admittedly, I grew up a Jets fan, so I saw the Jet in the Express logo, and I said, you know what, maybe it's just meant to be. And then you look at Christian Hackenberg starting down there in Memphis, too. But, I'm excited for it, man. More football is always a good thing. And, it was kind of flip a coin. It was either that or the San Diego fleet there. But I settled on Memphis. I'm confident in my decision, so we'll see how it works out.
Now, we got you on for the baseball thoughts, but what did you think of the debut last night? Because I was all in. I loved it. It was the minor league football that I've always wanted.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. You know, hard hitting, which I think all football fans are happy to see. We didn't see flags all the time. I think the production value of it, CBS did a good job of making it seem like it was a big event. So it was a solid start. It was about what fans really want to see. They have a ways to go from here. The level of competition is going to be the biggest question mark over the next 9 games. But yeah, I think it was a great start for them. We'll see how they move forward here.
All right, Joe, let's get to your bread and butter, which is the big leagues in baseball. And talking about Francisco Lindor and his calf strain, Max Moroff, Yu Chang, Eric Stamets. It's not a good look for the Indians as far as for guys that can fill in for Francisco Lindor that weeks into the season. I can't make a big deal about this one, though. I'm not there. I'm not one to try to say that the season's over or we need to overreact. Like it's a calf strain, and he should just be fine at some points, and hopefully it doesn't take away from any regular season games. Am I off base there?
No, I think that's fair, because the way you're looking at it now is he'll probably be back sometime in April. That's on the long side. It's tough because you really don't have great internal options to play at shortstop there. It's obvious that the Indians don't want to spend the money to maybe reinforce it. I mean, even if you wanted to go that route to spend a cheap contract, Jose Iglesias is still out there. I believe, Josh Harrison's still out there if they want to go the utility man route, but that's not going to happen. So the Indians are still the bread and butter of that division. I mean, there's the cream of the crop. There's no one better right now in that division. The only team that might give them a run, and it depends how the rest of their offseason or what's left of it folds out, is the White Sox, maybe. But it's not concerning. You hope he doesn't suffer any setbacks. But if the Indians don't want to spend the money, it's really hard to see how they're going to really fill that spot while Lindor is out. But there's still time left. There's still some names out on the market. So we'll see what they do. But, yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned if I was an Indian fan.
Should Indians fans be justifiably mad about this offseason?
I would be. I think you got to look at the Corey Kluber trade rumors as one. Aces don't grow on trees in Major League Baseball, and you have a really good rotation. And I think the best way I put it earlier in the offseason is being arrogant enough to believe that you can trade Corey Kluber and then still win the division. I think they do have a good rotation, don't get me wrong, and it's obvious the payroll was always the reason, but I'm really down on all of Major League Baseball and all these owners right now that don't want to spend the money, because it really feels like nobody is trying to win right now. I understand the Indians don't really want to spend the money. I get that. Payroll is always an issue for some of these teams. They just don't have it. But, yeah, I would be a little bit – I would be upset. It doesn't really seem like they've tried to improve their team at all, and that's a problem. Letting Michael Brantley walk – He's a solid bat. It's just tough for me to swallow, or would be tough for me to swallow if I was a Cleveland fan.
Yeah, what's tough for me about this, Joe, is that we have these conversations here locally, and I need to remind people that it's not just the Dolans. It's the point you brought up here. It's not just the Dolans that are the ones that aren't spending as much as they had. This is a problem for half the league right now, where these owners are not giving off the appropriated amount of funds that they used to, let's just say, 10, 15 years ago even.
Yeah, absolutely, Jonathan. And I think, just seeing what some of the players have said there, it's not a quiet thing anymore. I was on the introductory press conference call with new Mets reliever Justin Wilson, and he echoed Justin Verlander's sentiment, saying two-thirds of the league is not trying to compete right now. And that's a bad look, and I think a lot of teams have kind of sold their fan bases on, well, prospects are the new thing, and, you know, youth is the new thing, but then you get stuck in a constant rebuilding loop, and the talent never comes, or they just don't want to spend the money to supplement what they have. And it's just bad. It's bad for Major League Baseball. There's no way around it. It's a black eye that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are entering spring training probably without a team, with pitchers and catchers reporting this week. It's a big problem across Major League Baseball. I don't know what they can do to solve it. It's bad for the players. It's horrific for the players, really. So we'll see what they do, but it's so tough right now to try and force the owners to spend money when clearly they just don't want to do it.
Well, Joe, we talked about rule changes. Is that baseball's biggest problem, though, the lack of spending, or the fact that the Tigers can publicly say they want to be what the White Sox are right now in 2021, or the Mets saying that they can't spend $30 million on two players, especially when one of those players, Cespedes, is already having their injury underwritten by insurance?
You know, I really think that the rule changes how do I put this? I really think it's kind of like a bait and switch kind of thing, or misdirection, magician's misdirection here, where, yeah, well, you know, all these owners don't want to spend the money, but by the way, we have these rule changes. And I understand that's a players union thing too, but for me, by far, it's not the product on the field. It's trying to get the product on the field. And that means spending the money on the players. And when you have Marwin Gonzalez still on the free agent market, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, obviously still on the free agent market, Josh Harrison's still on the free agent market. Like, these are all serviceable guys. These are all guys that can help a team win a championship or at least be competitive. So it's kind of a disgrace that these guys aren't getting signed. They're not even getting phone calls. They're not getting offers. And they're not getting legit offers. And I think that's baseball's biggest problem. Forget the rule changes for now. That'll all come in time. But I really think their biggest problem is these owners not spending the money to get these players on the field.
He's Joe Rivera of Sporting News here on 92.3 The Fan. You know, Joe, you mentioned something it piqued my interest, and I just want to revisit and go back to it. You're talking about the AL Central, and you said the White Sox are the only ones that could compete this year with the Indians. How do you see the Twins shaping up in all this? Because a lot of people here locally wonder if they take a step forward with all the additions they had this offseason. Maybe they're projected as an 81-82 win team, but they go up to 86-87. Maybe the Indians have something to worry about.
Yeah, I don't think that's totally unfair, but the way I see the Twins right now is that they're in a rebuild. I think that signing Nelson Cruz and Lucas Duda are both moves. Obviously, they look good on paper, and they help the team in the immediate given their power, but I also kind of see it as, well, if the Twins are 15 games under 500, they're 10 games under 500 by the trade deadline. Those are both valuable pieces for teams that might be in the hunt to try and flip them for some pieces. So. And that's really the modus operandi for a lot of these teams now, or just signing guys so they can flip them. So, you know, I like I said, I do think the White Sox have something special there. I do. Obviously, the core has to play a little better. They had a stretch in August where they were beating some good teams. So you saw the potential there. And they have Eloy Jimenez waiting to come up, too. So I do think the White Sox have the potential there to really upset the balance. And as I mentioned, if they do land one of the two big free agents, which kind of seems pie in the sky right now. But if they do land one of the two big free agents, I think that does upset the balance a little bit there. But yeah, I'm not really sure what the Twins are. I'm not really buying the Twins, especially after a few seasons ago. They start strong and then they kind of fade down the stretch, you know, and that really hasn't changed. So I don't really buy them right now. We'll see what they are, but I don't see how they've really improved this offseason, especially if they just want to close some guys at the deadline, which I think is probably the most likely outcome.
Joe, if the White Sox whiff on Machado, how much longer will the Indians have to kind of have that separation in the Central?
That's a good question. I don't really see any of these teams in that division getting better anytime soon, right? The Tigers are in a state of flux. No one knows what they're going to be. The Twins, again, I think they're in a rebuild. The White Sox are coming, but it won't be, you know, maybe they could surprise some teams this year, but I don't think they'll be serious World Series contenders at all. And the Royals, while they've made some additions to make their team faster, I'm not really sure anybody's buying the Royals, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I don't really see them going anywhere yet. But with the White Sox getting better, I think that they probably have another year or two I think their window is probably this year, and that's it. And then after that, it's going to be tough to say. I think they really took advantage of a bad division last year, and you kind of saw that in the postseason. I know you only play who's in front of you, but it really depends. It depends on what the White Sox, what Chicago can do. It depends on how their young core, if Yoan Moncada can get better, if Eloy Jimenez is the real deal, which by all accounts really seems like he is. And it depends if they do decide to trade Kluber and they decide to blow it up and get some pieces back for the future. But I think you're probably looking at another 1 year. Probably this is the year. Maybe the following year they might be out of it, or they might be a little bit more challenged by the other teams in the division. But I think at least one more year this year, and then after that, we'll see.
Talking with Sporting News' Joe Rivera here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, Joe, before we get you out of here, Frank Robinson passed away earlier in the week. We have an Indians connection with him, obviously. Is there anything you heard in recent days, any good stories about Frank or anything that you have to send our way? The thing that stays with me is just how vastly underrated he is throughout MLB history relative to what his accomplishments suggest he should be.
Yeah, I think so, Jonathan. And I think my favorite story for years for Frank Robinson, it's not new, but in 1988, I believe, when they started the season, the Orioles started the season like 0-21. And he takes all the Baltimore Sun beat writers out to dinner. And Tim Kirchin, now of ESPN, asks Frank, he says, well, has anybody called you to offer, you know, any kind of advice or any kind of well wishes for you? And he goes, yeah, well, the president called me. And Kirchin kind of calls him out on it. And he says, the president called you? I don't believe you. And Robinson says, yeah, he called me. And he says, I know what you're going through. Frank Robinson says, no, with all due respect, Mr. President, you have no idea what I'm going through. So that's probably my favorite Frank Robinson story. But if there are any young listeners out there, anybody who's, you know, not young enough to have seen Frank play, you know, go on YouTube. This guy played with a fire and an intensity and a passion that I really think in baseball history is unrivaled. So just watching him play, watching the way that he went about his business, he was always all business. His rookie year is stuff of legend. Obviously hitting the home run in his first day of player manager with the Indians is massive. So, yeah, I think Frank really was one of a kind, really is vastly underrated, like you said, Jonathan. And we'll probably never see another player as passionate, as fiery, and as effective as he was, at least for a long time. It's tough to really put that label on anybody, but what he did in baseball history, what he did for baseball is it's kind of gone unnoticed for a long time. You're kind of seeing that now, but there was never another Frank Robinson, and I'm not sure there ever will be.
No doubt about it. Nicely done, Joe. Appreciate you giving us a couple minutes, and we'll catch up with you as baseball season inches closer and closer. You are almost out of the winter abyss into the best part of the year when baseball gets back underway, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Great stuff as always. Joe Rivera right there, Sporting News on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. As an aside to that 88 Orioles team that he got mentioned right there, and he brought up the Tim Kirchin story, that Orioles beat, you talk about a legendary beat reporter, like the trio that was there. It was Kirchin, it was Richard Justice, it was Ken Rosenthal, all covering the same team at the same time. How about that for legs? The sports media geek in me can go ahead and relish in that one. That's a heavy hitter trio right there.
How would you like to be like the new guy who took over for one of them after they left? Like, just, oh, so who used to have this beat? Oh no, it was just, you know, Tim Kirchin.
Or just like the fourth guy in that mix.
Right.
You know what I mean? The guy that was just kind of involved with everything they do. You know, but yeah, but now nobody ever really knows of.
Yeah.
I've said for a while, I really do think the young gun Indian beat reporters that we have right now, and some have already started to spread their wings in other places, Jordan Bastian being one of them, but you have Bastian, you have Castrovince, you have TJ Zuppi, Zach Meisel, like all of these really smart.
James Rapine, or are we not?
He hasn't covered an Indians game yet. Like, I'd give him the credit if he'd covered an Indians game. He hasn't done that yet. He will. He'll get there. But that's that young group and these guys that are all around. And you can even throw August Fagerstrom, who's in the mix as well, who, you know, is working with the Brewers organization, but spent time covering the Indians as well. Like, that little group, that group of four or five that are just baseball lifers. And you know, 25 years from now, one of them will be working for the Booyah Network. One of them will be covering it for Fox Sports 1. Another one will still be, you know, the new Paul Hoynes. And, like, you're just going to have, like, that big-time trio That is very similar to what you saw with Kirchen, Justice, and Ken Rosenthal. 216-578-0092. Interesting stuff right there with Joe about the big picture baseball ideas. But I want to go here next with you guys. The idea that we can make sports better. And I think within some of these baseball ideas, that's just the synopsis. What we're trying to do is make sports better.